Live from downtown Bloomington, it's In the Zone with Dave and Glass.
On News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
All right, it's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Terry with you on another Monday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight as we are through yet another NFL weekend. Only one more regular season weekend to go, and the playoff picture becoming much clearer. The Colts, of course, have already clinched the division, which is a good thing because they went down to Dallas and got their doors blown off. You heard it here on WGCL. But still one more game to make sure that they claim that third seed, whatever that might do for them. They at least have one home game. And we'll talk a lot about the NFL in general. Coming up in just a little while, of course, we're taking you up until 7:45 when Monday Night Football takes over pregame of Broncos at Cincinnati tonight. And Cincinnati needs to win to keep pace with the Pittsburgh Steelers, who have clinched a playoff spot. Not the division, but a playoff spot. But before we make our way to the NFL weekend, we've got a pretty big game on Saturday that we want to talk about here. The Indiana Hoosiers went up to the Crossroads Classic in Indianapolis and faced their second or third best opponent to date. Certainly the second best if you go simply by national ranking, the Butler Bulldogs, who have been a thorn in our sides for the last few years. This was a nationally ranked Butler Bulldogs team, everything you would expect out of a Butler team. Good defensive team, hits the boards hard, had 29 offensive rebounds against the North Carolina Tar Heels down in the Virgin Islands or wherever they play that holiday thing they were playing at, and beat North Carolina. But they've got some good scalps on their list right there that they've played so far. But the Hoosiers scored 82 points, managed to speed them up, which is something teams have not done to Butler this year. And it's the this-year-old question for this Hoosier team, Terry. And that is, defensively, they're slowly getting a little bit better and a little bit better. Rebounding, this maybe was the most dramatic upswing we've seen for this Hoosier team. But more importantly, I think, than any of that, really, is the fact that their offense is still, in this particular game, it was able to dictate the pace, and that's what this team will have to do. That's its strength.
Yeah, and it's a very good defensive Butler team, too. I mean, they managed to hold us under our average by 4 or 5 points. But, yeah, Dave, these guys are going to play a certain way. They didn't back off trying it against Louisville, who obviously was the number one team you were talking about that we've played so far this year best. And, as I was texting you in the midst of Butler's 11-1 run to finish the half, I was completely thought that we, at that point, were totally outplaying them and had a much deeper team. And at that point, also, we weren't getting any breaks as far as calls on fouls. Now, it did end up, evening out pretty much. But just, good start, got a little bit of a lead, had a little lull. And just so far, I like the way they played this game the other day. They kind of punching, hit and miss, kind of backing off. They'd attack a little bit and then see what they were going to do. And, you kind of see a few guys just starting to figure things out right before your eyes. And then you see some younger ones that maybe struggled a little bit but still did other things with their game. Impressive win. And I think all of us probably before the season goes, well, that's a win for IU because Butler was so bad last year. Now, these guys are a lot better than I thought they were going to be. And I think they'll, win a few games, make a little noise in the Big East. But nonetheless, with a team that beat us when we were number one 2 years ago and the darlings of the country, this is a big get back for us.
Well, of course, the key statistic or fact of this game is 82-73, which is the final score, because, of course, you have to score more points to win the game. But the most interesting one is the one we're alluding to here, and that is 48-40, Hoosiers lead and win the rebounding battle. 15 offensive rebounds for Indiana holds, quote-unquote, holds Butler to 11. Offensive rebounds. That's the real key, because this is a Butler team that does not shoot the ball particularly well. And even though Kellum Dunham is a good shooter and certainly had a very nice night, he had a very quiet second half. But most importantly is that they have you know, they have second chances that they get with all those offensive rebounds. You mentioned 29 against UNC. That is huge for that team because they don't hit a lot of their first shots. They don't shoot very well in general. So to limit that, they're talking a lot about this. I want to get your opinion on this, though. It's a rebounding improvement that we've started to see since that Louisville game. Is it as simple as they're just paying more attention to it? I hate to say trying harder because I think this team has tried. They may not have tried rebounding specifically, but what have you seen that has made the biggest difference on the rebounding side these last couple games for the Hoosiers?
One thing is I think we are just being a little bit more aggressive, and some of it is boxing out. Some of it's some people actually looking for somebody to go get. Other times it's just guys that are attacking the rim as we're on defense. We had a few guys attack the rim on our offensive end the other day, too. We'll get into that later. But I just think I saw so many times Saturday, in my opinion, just the look on our guys' faces, especially Perea, Williams. Nick Zeisloff got a couple of big rebounds. You know, you look at his box score, and you say, well, he only got three rebounds. But he got three rebounds when we needed rebounds. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing what I'm getting
to. Hit a couple big shots.
Yeah, he cut a couple big shots, as he has all year. Timely rebounds. Don't let them get, I mean, they had 11 rebounds. How many points did they score on those 11 rebounds? I'm not sure that I ever heard what
second
their second chance points.
Butler 14, IU 12.
Okay. You can live with that.
Absolutely.
Against anybody, anytime, anywhere. They, you know, height-wise in their starting lineup, they were about the same as us. So that wasn't any, no, you know, Cam Woods, you and I talked about him the other night. I really, you know, he is really rounding into a very decent ball player. 12 rebounds again. Roosevelt Jones, 2 years ago, I said the reason that I was scared of Butler was Roosevelt Jones because we had nobody to match up against him. He comes up, looks a little iffy the other day, wasn't very aggressive, 11 points, put 8 boards again because that's what Roosevelt Jones does. He ekes out space in there and grabs rebounds. I'm watching Perea knife in between people Saturday and literally like, no, you're not taking this one. I'm getting it. Mm-hmm. And just by the way they come down with the ball and how aggressive they were at holding on to it, again, Williams, I can only hope that the light is starting to come on for him.
Yeah.
And he can continue to do this. I mean, I don't expect 22 and 11 out of him all the time, but double figure points, yes, I do. Some big points, high totals when we need him. When he was obviously the best athlete on the floor, and he was going around anybody that tried to check him, and still pulled up for some mid-range games, so that drive is still there because he hit a three for the first time this year, hit a couple of mid-range buckets. And then once he hit a mid-range bucket, especially in the second half, then he had two straight drives. Yep. Boom, boom. Rebounding, it's a lot of it's just attitude and want to, kind of like playing defense.
Yep. No question about it. And this is a big game for the Hoosiers, certainly on the boards and both directions. It's their best win to date. And remember, they beat Pitt, who is not looking like world beaters right now, but they beat an SMU team that won up in Ann Arbor this weekend.
Yes.
So we will have lots to talk about in the Big Ten, as the Big Ten is not looking phenomenal right now as a basketball conference. But more IU Butler when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is our phone number. Dave and Terry with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Terry here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. You want to put a over-under on how long it takes me to call you Glass?
Oh, no, I mean,
you don't look like him, but it's all rote memory at this point.
Well, I mean, after 10 years or so, I won't hold you personally responsible if you do.
I'll try to get it right. I'm always trying for perfection. 333-2665 is our phone number. Again, we've got Monday Night Football coming up after the show, but after the show tonight is a 7:45 pregame for Broncos at Bengals, our last Monday Night Football game of the year. So this is the last two-hour show, the last Inside the Red Zone at 7 o'clock for the crew here. It's been a fun year, and hopefully we get to do it again next year, because enjoy these extra time here on Monday nights. It's always busy during the fall with football and the World Series for a while, and college basketball kicking in, and that's where we are right now. IU basketball 82-73 winners over Butler up in Indianapolis. And again, that big stat of all stats in this game, 48-40, the rebounding lead for Indiana over Butler. And let's dive into that rebounding just a little bit. I mean, you talked about why Indiana is doing better. The one thing I noticed in addition to what you're talking about, I think just some general aggressiveness, looks to me like they're concentrating on having numbers there too. Now, I don't know if that will slow down their fast break. It certainly didn't look like it on a few occasions, but it did look to me like there was a conscious effort to have more bodies around the goal on both sides of the ball, especially the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, and there's only right now as far as people playing, I mean, really – we can crash that board because the only person that can't grab a rebound and take off to lead the break is Hanner Perea.
Yeah.
I mean, really, at this point, you don't want him or Emmett Holt doing it and taking off all the way down. But to be honest with you, you know, any of our other wings that are starting can definitely take the ball and take lead the break. Colin Hartman probably can. I definitely, you know, Hotzel can. And our boy Stan Robinson can. Yeah. So, you know, right now, I think that's the big thing. It's like, hey, all of you guys got to go, and whoever gets it, take off.
Mm-hmm.
Except Hanner. You throw the ball to Yogi or James, you find somebody, go. But so you're right that you were consistently seeing 3 to 4 guys on the defensive board the other day, which, you know, whether that's a part of – the way Butler in this case was running their offense and the way they keep things close-knit in the paint, that's fine. I don't really care. What I care is that 48-40 we've got to have. We're not going to beat that many people rebounding. But this was an outstanding rebounding team. And to actually have more offensive rebounds than they did by four, I mean, that was just an outstanding job all the way around for us. Credit Colin Hartman with a couple of nice tips. Perea with several nice tips. So it's a mindset, and I'm pretty sure that's one of the things that Tom Crean has said is, hey, you guys, everybody go. And if it's a long rebound or something like that, everybody take off because we've got people that can lead the break.
There was an absolutely beautiful 5 seconds, and I just pick out this one, but it was just perfect. Perea comes down with the board, dishes it over to Yogi, who is really not very far ahead of him, but it's over way by the sideline. Yogi takes about 3 steps forward, and not even a full speed, but just like a half speed type of thing, and goes almost the length of the floor with the pass to Troy Williams, who has beaten everybody by 3 steps, and dunks it. And it happened just like that. I mean, just that quickly, but it was absolutely perfect because not only do you get the rebound, you get it out of his hands quickly to start a break, and there's immediately a guy who's already hustled all the way down the floor and beaten the entire defense all the way down by at least 2 or 3 steps for an extremely easy bucket. And when they talk about going fast, they don't want to go fast and have Troy Williams have to go through 3 guys to make that bucket. But if you beat them all down the floor, we've seen that a lot the last few years, but you're starting to see it out of this group.
Yeah, I mean, we've had, you know, the luxury of Oladipo. I mean, Cody Zeller ran the floor.
Cody was great.
Better than anybody in the country.
Yep.
When he was here for 2 years. He could run the floor well. So we've had guys, and right now we've got, again, of the 10 people that look like they're going to be in the rotation pretty much most of the year. There were 9 the other day. No, it was 10 the other day. The, you know, there are only two, probably Holt and Perea are the only 2 guys I don't want taking a ball and taking off with it.
And we've seen Holt do it.
And he can do it.
He has done
right
it.
Now, I just.
Perea wouldn't.
I don't know why he, you know, he didn't get as many minutes the other day, and that's fine. He will get minutes. I really like the kid. But, you know, of our 10 people, we do have that availability at any time. What was great about that break, Dave, the one you're talking about, was just excellent. Essentially, the ball got up the floor in 5 seconds with only 3 dribbles.
Yep.
That's amazing. That's old school basketball. You get it. You take a couple of dribbles. You look ahead. You find a guy ahead of you. The only thing that would be any better if it had been no dribbles.
Yeah.
And one more pass maybe. Hey.
It wasn't weaving in and out of traffic and around people and doing crazy spin moves. It was just real super simple.
Yogi made one move, 2 or 3 dribbles, like you said, looked up, there's Troy, boom. Yeah. You know, that's the way we're going to have to play. You know, only 11 turnovers the other day against, again, a decent defensive team. Just because they will get up into you, they cause you, you know, they want to cause you to hurry yourself. And we did just a great job of controlling. You know, we did a good job on the boards. And, again, I think Coach Crean would take 11 turnovers against just about anybody all year.
Well, why wouldn't you with the pace that they're playing at, too? 333-2665 is a phone number. I do want to stick with the rebounding for a little while because let's talk about the Butler side of things here. This is one of the best rebounding teams in the country, at least it has been up till now. We mentioned the 29 rebounds against UNC is as impressive as that is because they only shot like 35% against UNC or less. I think it might have been 32%.
Oh, it was horrible.
Yeah, it wasn't because they were canning everything from outside that they won that game. It was because they gave them themselves more and more shots. I wanted to ask you, though, back to the idea of IU's pace dictating the way the game is played, is the lack of rebounding by Butler and especially the offensive rebounds, it was 11, but I mean that's nothing compared to the 29, is part of that because IU's offense sped the game up and also sped Butler's offense up? Because Butler's not a team that runs a whole bunch of motion and takes 30 seconds off the clock every time down there. They don't mind going to, you know, getting a shot one-on-one type of situation, but they're not fast. I mean, they don't try hard to be fast in the shot clock, but there's some certainly several possessions where they were sped up a lot quicker than they seem to be comfortable with.
When you get a run, when you get into a game with a team like us that does want to push that ball, it is almost first nature. I can do that too.
Let's go.
I mean, seriously, you. Because that's the way everybody wants to play. That's just like out in the playground. Mm-hmm. That's you're playing 5-on-5. You're in the gym. You're running up and down. There's no referee. Just boom, go. The problem is that's something that, yes, to answer your question, I think that was part of it. You've got the part of it is they may be playing a little bit quicker than their normal. We were more aggressive on the boards because Coach Crean has said everybody go, and then we'll run off our getting our rebounds and keeping them off of getting second and third shots. Against North Carolina, the reason Butler still shot in the low 30s is because they were 1-for-3 every time down. Mm-hmm. Miss, rebound, hit. That's what they were doing in that game. So, yeah, I mean, it's twofold. It's just the fact that we were causing them a little bit more to speed themselves up. Like I said, we have quickness at every position. Our defense should never be as bad as it's been in some of the early games
correct.
This year.
Absolutely.
Now some of these guys, as you and I and Glass were emailing each other last week, it's a lot of want to. Do you want to play or not? These guys are finding out we can play a little defense, we can get some turnovers, we can run just as much by stealing the ball as getting a break by a missed shot. Let's just don't let them get a shot. Now, we're not anywhere near that yet. But I see a couple of guys that are kind of digging, playing some defense for a change.
Yeah.
And that's going
to
help.
Well, Yogi has always liked a challenge. The disappointing thing to me up before the Butler game, and I've said this repeatedly, you're sick of hearing me say this, Glass is sick of hearing me say this, this team has a pair of stud players out front that can handle the ball, that can shoot, that can get to the basket, and are as athletic as it gets in the Big Ten and nationwide. And up till that point in time, their defense combined between the two of them was awful. And not because they can't do it, because they're two great athletes that just seemed to me like they weren't engaged in any way, shape, or form. This weekend, you could tell Yogi was engaged on the defensive side of the ball. Now, maybe a little bit too much in the first half because he was out by the first TV timeout with two fouls. Came back in a little bit later, but I mean, had to play most of the second half to get all of his points and his contributions because of those two fouls. James Blackman, I don't know that I saw it quite the same. My expectations for these two kids are because of their talent and because of their athleticism, they should be better defenders. I'm not talking Aaron Kraft. I'm not. Again, this team wants to get up and down the floor and score points. You can't score points if your two best scorers are on the bench because they're trying too hard to reach in and take charges. That's fine. I get that part. But there's got to be that concentration to not letting the defense break down on the perimeter with penetration. And I thought Yogi was much, much better and much more engaged. And Coach Crean, I know, talked about afterwards how up he was for this particular game. It looked like it. I mean, it showed in his play on the defensive end.
No, he did a great job of, I mean, pretty much he was in charge of Kellen Dunham in the second half. Dunham had five quick, and I don't think he scored the last 10 minutes.
He had five in the whole second half.
Yeah, five in the whole second half, and probably none in the last 10 minutes when we took control of the ball game. So kudos there. Another thing, James Blackman. Since we're on defense, we'll just stay with defense for right now. He kept Alex Barlow. He guarded Barlow the majority of the game. Mm-hmm. This is the kid that beat us 2 years ago with a shot in the lane. He kept Barlow, who is a senior and a very good heady point guard, a good leader. I mean, he had, what, 4 points? He kept him out of the lane.
4 points, one assist.
That's it. He took him a couple times. You know, a couple times Barlow, for some reason, thought he could guard James, too, and that's why he got in foul trouble.
Yeah.
But, you know, just it's kind of figure out what you can do with people. And that's one thing, another thing about Yogi being such a good leader Saturday, not only just playing D, offensively going off, but when he when you watch your guy like Yogi take on Dunham, who literally torched these guys in the first half.
Yeah,
I mean, 18 points.
That's huge.
And just, matter of fact, made that 11-1 run was him, mm-hmm. pretty much. And you see him come in and shut him down. Some of these other guys are like, yeah, hey, we can do that. You know, Robert, you know, James is going, Robert, you know, we can do that. We got to do that. And it becomes contagious. And that is part of defense. It's just, do you want to do it? Do you want to have a reputation as, you know what, Indiana's kind of small, but good God, do they guard you? Do they get into you? Well, right now we can't say that. But part of it, it's all in your head. You want to do it because we know we've got the lateral quickness up there completely with probably 7 of our 10 rotation guys could just about guard anybody.
Well, again, dictating pace on the offensive side of the ball. Talked a lot of defensive rebounding, defense and rebounding so far. We'll talk at the offensive side because, again, 82 points against a Butler team that was giving up 50s and 60s most of the year. We'll talk about that when we get back from the break. And, of course, we got a couple minor little nitpicks we'll throw in there before long also. 333-2665 is a phone number. Dave and Terry with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Terry here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is the phone number. It is, of course, the first of back-to-back holiday weeks, so a little bit different programming this week. We will not have a live Joe Smith Sports Talk tomorrow night, and we will not have a live In the Zone on Wednesday night. And, of course, Christmas is Thursday. We do not have a high school broadcast Friday night, so it's pretty blank up there on the schedule.
Sure is.
IU's got a game tonight, 7 o'clock. It is online only. Trying to find out if it's going to be rebroadcast later on the live Big Ten network. It's usually the case, but I can't swear that it is on this game. They play Georgetown on Saturday, noon on the Deuce, and then we will have a doubleheader of NFL football for you next Sunday. Colts at Tennessee with pregame at 1 o'clock and kick. I'm sorry, pregame at noon, kickoff at 1 o'clock. And then the night game is Dallas at San Diego, 7:30 for the pregame for that. 333-2665 is a phone number. Let's talk that IU offense outside of James Blackman, who is on a three-game struggle offensively, 2-for-12 shooting in this particular game. He's been having a hard time. He did try to get to the basket. Only 2 attempts from three-point land, did not make either one. But he did make a conscious attempt to not just settle for three-pointers, trying to break himself out of that. Again, very... I get on James because of the defensive side. He's got to be better. I mean, there's got to be better attempt to stop penetration. But he's one of the smarter players you've seen in general out there. He's not getting himself in foul trouble, and that's incredibly smart for a guy that we need to score points the way we do with James. But offensively, he's always trying to get himself going and get himself good shots. He's not taking a lot of poor shots for the most part. I think I counted 1 or 2 possessions maybe that weren't so good, but – outside of Robert Johnson, I mean, I think you got to be pleased with what you got from just about everybody out there. A little bit out of Colin, a little bit out of Max in a couple spots. You know, Nick hit a couple big shots. Troy Williams, he's the catalyst when Yogi hit the bench.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, the thing about James Blackman that, I mean, he's going to have some games where he's, you know, I guarantee you he hits 30 on somebody this year.
Yeah.
If not once, twice. If he doesn't hit... you know, he got 12 shots, 2-for-12. You know, it's probably about the worst shooting night he's had as a Hoosier. I know it's his lowest point total, but he got 8 rebounds.
Yep.
And again, I've already mentioned the fact that how he harassed Barlow into 1-to-6 shooting himself. So, you know, that's where guys have got to, you know, just play. If you aren't hitting and we've got other guys that were offensive, were going great guns, so we didn't need him, then do something else. Anything you can do to help the team win which, you know, is something that Robert Johnson has been doing all year. Now, he was, you know, he had his first shot. Then he misses the next five. You know, he had four rebounds. No assists, though. And that's kind of odd. He has just been key at distributing the ball to anybody and everybody all year. So, like you said, you know.
Robert has not had a lot of games where you go, oh, my God, he's awesome. But every time you look up on the broadcast, if you look at the stat, I mean, you see all the things he contributes. And a lot of times during the game, you say, you know what, the kid's all over the place, but you just don't say it's all huge wow plays. He's just always doing the right kind of thing. This was the first game that I recall where, you know, he's out there for a lot of minutes, but maybe you missed him out there a lot of the time. I know they started him on Jones. And my comment to you there was I was a little surprised Butler didn't go to get the ball to Jones, Roosevelt Jones, early and often. They waited until Nick Zeisloff switched on to him to really give Jones the ball and have him go to the end of the paint.
Yeah, and you know the thing, you know, Johnson also being a freshman, and you know, okay, yes, he, you know, played in a couple big games so far. Louisville, that game was huge, and you know, a couple other games, but everything at Assembly Hall, with the exception of the Louisville game, I would have done the same thing. I would have just, you know, the way Roosevelt Jones sliced us up 2 years ago, and you know, I think I would have put the ball in his hands a lot more, but he got 15 shots.
Yeah,
I mean, he only hit five shots, and he can't hit anything outside a layup.
No,
so
smart enough to not shoot any threes.
We had to have done. While I can vividly still remember several layups he got that just astound me that he can even get them off, let alone make them.
Yeah.
But we obviously did a good job on him because he was 5 for 15 from the field and only shot 4 free throws. He probably shot 12 to 13 free throws against us 2 years ago in getting 16 points or whatever he did. He was the key to that win. So, you know.
He's our leading assist guy.
Yeah.
I envisioned them getting the ball to him more to generate offense, and again, they didn't do it. I don't know if they didn't like the matchup on Robert Johnson. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, he still was the leading assist guy with two of the six that they had. But, you know, but as you said, Dave, I mean, everybody right down the line contributed something. I mean, Emmett Holt did not score and probably played the fewest minutes, you know, only 3 minutes. So, I mean, he didn't have a lot of contributions. But, you know, the other four guys off the bench all put their stamp on this one. And, you know, like I said, it looks like that's bar a miraculous comeback by Devin Davis. I think these 10 guys are the guys we're going to play with all year.
No, I don't think there's any question. 333-2665 is a phone number. Let's hope Devin Davis does not get pushed back. I know everybody wants to have a target to help them through a rehab type of situation, but the target needs to be next year, if at all, just to be safe. Let's talk about Troy, though, because this is a breakout game for Troy. He's been named Big Ten Player of the Week. I believe he was a national ESPN.com National Player of the Week. It was only one game, of course, because the Hoosiers only played one game last week. But he still I have to say that he still has times where he's out of control because that's what it looks like. But it seems to me like he is slowing it down, and maybe he's not as out of control as people think, as much as he's just crazy fast, and he has to remember when to use the crazy fast and when not to. All right, maybe I'm parsing this out into, you know, and just nitpicking a little bit here to get it down.
You mean the running hook shot? Are you talking about
that
one?
Yeah, and he still has one or two of those, but he brought it back in, and more importantly, he's finding guys off of those rather than going flying through the middle of the lane and throwing up some nutso shot that doesn't have a chance of making it. Now he's flying through the lane and looking for guys and getting them wide open threes.
He had three assists. Him and Yogi were our assist leaders with three.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm not suddenly thinking that this guy's going to do this every game. But the consistency, if he does keep the game simple, and as he, you know, talked about in this morning's Herald Times, just saying, hey, you know, I got to know when to pick my spots, and I can't just run around like, you know, he didn't say this. You just can't run around like your hair's on fire.
Yeah.
The one time you want to do that is if you're playing defense. You know, just play all out. But, yeah, I mean, this is kind of what again, this is the evolution of some of these guys as they're getting older. I mean, we
talk about that with Vic, because that's been brought up a lot about the stages of their career. And I think people are starting to poo-poo this comparison because Vic ended up as the number two or number four pick in the draft, the number two pick in the draft. And, you know, the comparison right now is not to project Troy as the number two pick in the NBA draft.
No.
The comparison is where they were at this stage of their careers and how they continue to improve up till then, and more importantly, from that point forward.
Yeah, and even they showed it on the TV the other day, the 40-game comparison, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, I didn't realize that it was that close.
Yeah.
And for the kid's sake, well, for IU's sake and the kid's sake, if he continues to develop like that, great. So that speaks volumes for, number one, what Coach Green's doing. Number two, the kid comes from an unbelievable athletic and basketball background with his Uncle Boo running one of the best AAU programs in the country. So the kid's got various people he can learn from. He's picking things up from everybody, and including his teammates, and he's just starting to mature. We'll see. Again, like I said, that's just the evolution. That's the other reason that I have maintained before the year ever started that we were going to have more wins than we did last year, and everybody thinks I'm a nut. Well, you know what? Here's the other thing. The reason is, besides, okay, we're small, but we've got all kinds of shooters, and does anybody not think that the kids we have coming back from last year that got their butts beat a couple times aren't going to get better at some point?
You would hope so, absolutely.
Well, I count on that happening.
Well, and it's happening. I mean,
well, you can see it.
I'm not willing yet to project what Hunter Mascara-Perea is in the long term here, but what you're seeing out of Troy is the speed thing. The speed kills. Ask any coach in any sport, they'll tell you speed kills. You know, football has, over the last 25 years, has become a speed game, less of a power game, for that very reason. Think about those Miami teams and those Florida State teams, you know, back in the late 80s. That was all speed, and everybody turned to speed at that point in time to make football what it is. Now it's all spread out, and everybody's running all over the place. And in basketball, speed kills, but it's knowing when to use it and to use every aspect of it, because he's got all kinds of levels of it in there. He seems to be harnessing it, and perhaps what's most impressive about this game this weekend is not that he scored 22 points, although that was excellent timing, yeah, a lot in the first half, but it's the 11 rebounds, it's 3 assists, it's 2 blocks, it's 2 steals. It's translating into the entire game, not just a couple flashes of athleticism because he's the best athlete at 6'7 out there, but right now he's starting to look like a damn good basketball player.
Yeah, and again, that's part of it. I mean, that's with not only having better, you know, he's got an unbelievable amount of players to play against in practice now that are all about the same size. Mm-hmm. They go against each other. I mean, there's just, you know, you've got more players, you're getting better practice habits, you're working hard, you're getting in and putting in extra time, watching film, all of this. I mean, we had some talented people on that team last year. I hate to even bring this up, but you and I both have been watching Luke Fisher tear it up Marquette in his first two games.
Man.
And imagine, you know, what he would be like on this team.
No,
and you know, I'm sorry the kid was homesick, because he sure can play, and he's 6'11",
yeah,
and he's 250 pounds. And, you know, would have made it a lot easier for Troy and Hanner and Emmett Holt and everybody else.
How good is a front line look to Hoosier fans if it were Luke Fisher, Perea,
yeah, and Williams? And, you know, and Noah Vonleh is not playing at all. So he's right, sitting on the bench, had a little injury. But the evolution of some of these guys are going to determine how far, you know, what happens to us in the Big Ten. I know we may talk about some games and the way the Big Ten's mm-hmm. looking a little later today. But we just keep getting some improvement and people figuring out how to play the game. He's a sophomore, yeah, folks. He's a sophomore.
He's just halfway through that sophomore year, too. So, no, he is showing some great flashes right now, and hopefully it continues a upward trend for Troy Williams, because plays like that, he's one of the best players in the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any question. We shall see. We will talk a little bit more IU basketball as we look forward to Georgetown, and we talk about the rest of the Big Ten up till now when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Terry with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Terry on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is the phone number. It is, of course, Monday night, our last Monday night football broadcast of the year. So we're with you until 7:45. So don't go anywhere here when we hit the top of the hour, because we'll be right back with you right after the top of the hour. And taking you to the pregame at 7:45 of Broncos at the Bengals. But before that, we're talking IU basketball. Big win over the weekend. Their best of the season against a nationally ranked Butler team, 82-73. They sped Butler up, got him moving up and down the court, and became their game. So the next question, now they do have the game tonight against New Orleans, certainly should not be a big problem at the end of the night. We will see. I mean, this is one of those steps you don't want to forget about for a young team like this, because it is still a young team no matter what development you are seeing, is not to take New Orleans lightly after, you know, 2 days after a nice big win that everybody's going to be patting you on the back for. So we'll see how they react to it tonight. I expect, you know, they'll at the very least win it by double digits and make it relatively easy, if it's not maybe the prettiest game you've ever seen. But then they got another big game where they go right back to New York on Saturday noon on ESPN2 and face a big physical Georgetown team. The thing that you would think, again, is still their weakness. Can they handle it now? Do you feel better about it?
Yes, I do. A team that also Butler beat earlier in the year, a couple games after they beat North Carolina, then lost a game, and then came back and beat Georgetown. So in Georgetown with Devontae Smith-Rivera, former North Central product, and he's by far their best player. He's, in my opinion, the only guy they've got that can score. But, yeah, they're going to be – they've got some long guys, some big guys. They're not Louisville relentless, but they're built like they're Louisville big. So, yeah, I am so looking forward to Saturday just to see. Now, we're going back to Madison Square again for another game. I mean, this will be a great matchup before we start the Big Ten at Nebraska, is playing these guys.
Well,
no doubt.
I asked Glass this last week. He makes a point occasionally that in basketball you got to be able to score. And a lot of Hoosier fans seem to be upset with the speed we try to be playing with on offense, because it detracts, I understand this, detracts a bit from the defensive side of the ball. And Hoosier fans, if nothing else, seem to like the fundamentals of the game. They relish in it. And not that you have to remove the fundamentals to play offensive basketball nowadays and score points, but my question to you would be the same as I asked Glass. At this day and age, don't you want a team that can run up and down the floor, offensively be an excellent team, and ideally control the pace of play with their offense, rather than one that has to slow everything down and keep things down against anybody they face? Because, again, it seems to me like it's the teams that get in the 80s that are becoming the relics in basketball nowadays.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a good point. Until we become lockdown defenders and, you know, continue again, if we continue to improve upon our rebounding totals and do some other things, then we can do some different things. I get what people want. You know, motion offense is dead, folks. It's not coming back. We do a lot of stuff motion related in moving players around for Indiana, but at this point right now, just moving up and down the floor is probably our best bet to see what we can pull out and then put pressure on people that way. You know, things have changed so much in college basketball in the last 15 years, and this is the way so many other people are playing. We're not the only ones. Unfortunately, we're one of the ones that are short. We're shorter on post players than a lot of people, yeah. But you know, right now, there's just something about this style with this group of guys that I don't think we'd play any different if we had Luke Fisher or Noah Vonley. I think we'd still move up and down the floor, because those guys were both mobile guys that could get up and down the floor also. So
we played fast with Cody Zeller in there,
and they played
and
awfully
yet tried
fast
to cement
with Cody
him down there in the post most of the time.
Yeah. So personally, I mean, I like this. I like to be versatile to where, you know, there's going to be some teams that are just going to flat, and Michigan State's one that likes to press the ball up after missed baskets and watch outlet passes, try to pick off outlet passes, which they've done to us over the last 2 or 3 years as we have become more up-tempo.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be able to do both. You've got to be able to play in the half court. You've got to be able to run up ball up and down the floor. And this right now, I think Coach Crean, a lot of stuff he's probably not still put in some of his offense. They're still just learning. We've got six freshmen and, you know, a transfer that's at least, you know, has graduated college, and Nick Sisloff's going to pick up this up stuff a lot quicker than Johnson, Blackman, Hotzel and those guys. So we'll see how it works. But, yeah, I mean, I agree. I like this style of play. I think for this team, we are going to have to be the aggressors. And, you know, not only, you know, offensively keeping this type of pace up. But, again, I want to see more improvement on our defensive end to where we can possibly even put more pressure on people after our scores. I love that.
Georgetown is 7-3. They do have an overtime win over Florida. 66-65 was a score there. They scored 65 points in a three-point loss to Wisconsin. They scored 58 in a six-point loss to Butler. They scored 70 in a five-point loss to Kansas. They're not getting blown out by these top teams, and they even beat a ranked Florida team, although Florida, I think, is maybe taking a bit of a stumble now also. But they are offensively challenged, at the very least. Again, 64-58 was the final against Butler, the one team I think we share on the schedule up till now. I mean, look, I know this is projecting. I don't want to get too crazy. You know, if the Hoosiers go in with the same kind of mindset they took in this past weekend, they've got to be able to speed up this Georgetown team and outscore them, you would think.
Yeah, I would think so, too. I mean, they're a good – Georgetown is completely different physically than Butler. They play probably as good a defense. Also, another indication of some of their scores, they will guard you. I mean, Thompson the third is not that apple didn't fall far from the tree as far as his dad and teaching excellent defense. The one thing, again, they're still trying to run that modified Princeton offense, and most of the time that ends up with Smith Rivera taking a shot from somewhere because they can't find anything else. So we'll see how it works. Yeah, I'm like I said, I'm looking forward to this. You know, they've got some 6'8", 6'9 guys. Four or five of those guys that play constantly. They've got some decent wings. They're not good outside shooters. You can bet we're going to start playing some, you know, continue that zone. Our little amoeba switching in and out. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be fine. But, yeah, right now, I mean, I didn't get into doing any Georgetown prep today, but I would almost bet you they maybe have one other person in double figures, and I doubt it.
Let's look then at the rest of the Big Ten up till now before we head to the top of the hour and our break. It's been a disaster for a good bit of the Big Ten. Of course, Indiana's got a loss at home to Eastern Washington, who is not a bad team, but it still doesn't look very good. And unfortunately, there's a lot of bad teams and not looking very goods. On the schedule, this weekend was particularly bad. If you remember, Mike Davis bringing his Texas Southern team here into Indiana. Well, they went up and beat Michigan State at the Breslin Center this weekend, which never happens to Tom Izzo.
No.
Michigan lost at home to the SMU team that we beat, and that's coming off of three straight losses that include Eastern Michigan, docket, and New Jersey Institute of Technology. Rutgers has lost a couple embarrassing games. Nebraska, not with some bad losses. Rhode Island, Creighton is a good team, of course, but Incarnate Word is a loss that Nebraska has. It's honestly a head scratcher. It's a little absurd, some of these losses that we've seen. St. Francis, I think, was who beat Rutgers. People were saying it was a bad year for Big Ten football. It's looking worse right now for the basketball out of conference.
Oh, I tell you, I mean, Wisconsin's far and easy the best team.
Easily, yeah.
I'm still a little bit surprised that Duke beat them at home in the ACC Big Ten. But I think the team really that's emerging right now, Ohio State was ranked 12th when they got beat the other day.
Yeah, I don't get that. But
they have – what are these people looking at that are voting? Yeah. Okay, I won't go there. Maryland's the second-best team in the Big Ten by far, and not even close right now. So we may talk a little more about Big Ten stuff here after the break, but Wisconsin and Maryland.
We got too much easy to rip on. We'll talk a little bit more Big Ten basketball when we get back. Back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Terry with you in the zone. All right. right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Terry here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL, our final in the red zone of 2014. It's been a lot of fun this fall to have the extra hour to talk football and basketball and baseball and anything else that came up in a busy fall, but tonight's the last Monday night football of the season. We'll take you to 7:45 and pregame of the Broncos at the Bengals tonight, and important game for the Bengals. Broncos, of course, want to keep 1-2, but Bengals needed to keep pace in the AFC North, rather. Wrapping up basketball for the weekend, of course, Hoosiers win 82-73, one of the few bright spots in the Big Ten this weekend. And unfortunately, for much of the season, there have been some majorly embarrassing results. Of course, not to let Indiana off the hook, they did lose at home to Eastern Washington. Unable to defend in that game, losing 88-86. But there have been a lot of those in the Big Ten this year. As we mentioned, Michigan State this weekend lost to a previously 1-8 Texas Southern team. You saw that team here in Assembly Hall. Mike Davis was coaching it, and the Hoosiers took care of business in that game. Our friends up north, Purdue, lost to North Florida. Michigan has lost four straight now, including Eastern Michigan and New Jersey Institute of Technology. Yeah, they got their doors blown off at Arizona, which isn't all that surprising, but lost at home to SMU, who Hoosiers beat. Look, you and I have talked a little bit about this, because projecting for this Indiana team, how great was the Big Ten they had to face also? I would have never put IU as 2 or 3 in the Big Ten this year necessarily, but I knew, at least looking at the rosters out there, there weren't a lot of teams that scared the hell out of you defensively and inside for a team that can score pretty well in Indiana. And there aren't a lot of great offenses in the Big Ten either.
No, and, you know, our preseason of 9 or 10, that's before anybody ever saw us play and realized we could probably average 88 points a game for the rest of the year. So, you know, it is what it is. Now, having said that, you know, that's just there's no reason we couldn't finish 2nd or 3rd, to be honest with you. As we were finishing up the last hour, you know, Wisconsin and Maryland, I think Wisconsin heads and shoulders above everybody. Yeah. They have probably 1 through 8, maybe the best roster, one of the top 5 rosters in the country. No doubt. These guys are good. And they're going to lose some games too, but they should be ranked first, you know, preseason in the Big Ten. Maryland's a little surprising to me because they – still going through, you know, they have Des Wells, who moved over there from Xavier a couple years ago. Very good player. Kind of a headache as far as that goes. But, they've lost a few people to the NBA and left town, so to speak. They're playing very well. Saw them play the other day. I was very impressed. But after that, I mean, this Ohio State being 12th the other day was a complete joke. These guys aren't that good. They have a freshman left-hander who will just bomb it from where is the only guy on the team that can put the ball in the hole. Same Northwestern team we've seen, minus Kraft, who also couldn't put the ball in the hole. And the other one that went pro, and I can't remember his name right now, last year, great, great athlete, their leading scorer. Okay. You can look at everybody else. I mean, us, Minnesota, you know, Illinois had a couple. Illinois beat Missouri the other day in their showdown.
Yeah, and
great game.
I would say this in favor of Ohio State. They haven't beat anybody. They haven't played anybody outside of their two losses. They are an athletic team. As you said, though, when you get down to it, that the question there is going to be, can they put the ball in the basket? Illinois, I think, has more options offensively. They're a nice-looking, tough team. But again, can they keep up offensively is a legitimate question. Those are probably Maryland and those two other teams, those are 2, 3, 4, along with, you'd think right now, at least based on what you saw in the last couple of weeks, you'd think Indiana's got to be in the mix up there somewhere.
Yeah, right smack in the middle with 5 or 6 other teams. I tell you, you know, there's, of course, Michigan, they've lost so many good players in the NBA the last couple of years. I mean, and then John Horford decides to forego his last year because a lot of the guys he played with are leaving. He's down in Florida, starting for Florida at 6'10". Mm-hmm. Don't tell me they couldn't use him. You know, his 8 points and 8 rebounds a game, you know, things like that, or what we were dreaming of Hanner.
I'm shedding a tear right now for John
Thielen
as you're talking.
You know, him and Bo might be the greatest coaches ever in the history of college basketball. So, anyway. This is going to be a wide open Big Ten season. It's where we're going with this, folks, because there's a couple of pretty good teams, and there's about 6 or 7 that are even. and then there's another four or five that are right below that. I think the biggest, you know, I look through, you see, you know, maybe you think Michigan's the biggest disappointment. I don't, because they didn't have anybody coming back, but was really going to be a bell cow for them. Caris LeVert is playing decent. Zach Irvin, you know, and then their Indiana Mr. Basketball that went somewhere else. He's finding his way as now trying to be a star instead of a role player. You have no big guys whatsoever. You think we're small? Look at Michigan.
Oh, yeah, they're not.
Okay, no. So take them. The disappointing team to me right now is Nebraska.
Yeah.
They had everybody back. They've been patted on the back and the top of the head, telling them how great, what a Cinderella story, how good they're going to be next year. They're not taken. The positive stuff very well, which happened in Indiana a few times last year after big wins over, say, Wisconsin and others that they're not handling prosperity well.
And I inadvertently left Michigan State out of that list of those next couple teams because I don't think they're going to fall very far out of it.
No.
Now, they're without Brandon Dawson for now. Broke his wrist, and that's at least I don't know. I can't blame losing Brandon Dawson and losing to Texas Southern. That team has too much talent. I'm sorry, but you know, Tom Izzo, as good of a coach as he is, again, I don't disagree with that in any way, shape, or form. That's an inexcusable loss in that particular case. But I think they'll be in that mix at the end of it. I'm still going to put Michigan up there as one of the most disappointing, and the reason is because there's still a bunch of talent on that team. I still keep hearing about all the great recruits that John Beilein comes into Indiana and gets, and the other guys. I keep hearing about these things. I know they're not tall. They are young inside, and they've got a little bit of height, but they don't play a lot of them.
No.
They play a lot of guys on the outside. But all I've heard for the last couple of years is what a great job recruiting and coaching John Beilein has done. He still has big-time offensive talent on that team and big guys. I mean, LeVert's 6'6 or 6'7.
Yeah,
Irvin's 6'4 or 6'5. Outside of Albrecht, I know Walton's not huge, but they are not a puny little team that is just getting shoved around physically. There is no reason whatsoever, again, inexcusable, New Jersey Institute of Technology. That's inexcusable.
No doubt.
At least with Eastern Michigan, you can make the argument this is a nice mid-major team. It's from the area. They got a chip on their shoulder because of it. You can make that argument. All right, and I'll help you with that argument, in fact, but not New Jersey of Institute of Technology. And you would think they would have been able to take SMU a little bit more seriously.
Yeah.
I made the joke four straight here. Something's going on with a couple of these players on that Michigan team, but they're not all together because suddenly they're not scoring a lot of points and they're not beating anybody. Four straight is shocking for that team. Now, I agree with you on the Nebraska thing, but
– yeah. No, both of them. They'd be your top two disappointments.
At least with Nebraska, I think you had to walk into the season thinking that a team that shocked you a bit last year was suddenly going to put it back together again and improve off of that. And I think you could at least make a little bit of an argument that, yeah, prove it before you talk about it. I know Tim Miles was the flavor of the month last year, too.
Oh, yes, he was.
So this is why I never get too crazy up and down when it talks to this coach is the greatest thing of that and that coach is the greatest thing of that. Because, again, you know, is the Chambers guy for Penn State the best coach in the Big Ten right now at 12-1?
Yeah, they sure do look real good right now. But
they're not playing anybody. But
I can tell you they're not going to be anywhere near where they're sitting right now, so everybody relax there.
No, and it's not surprising some of the losses we've had. Unfortunately, there just aren't a lot of good wins right now from the Big Ten. When it got to the ACC Big Ten Challenge, the Big Ten did win it.
Yep.
But Duke beat Wisconsin at home. That's a big loss kind of in one of the major marquee games there, unfortunately. So, you know, they won that, and yet there's not a lot of the top-level ones. Michigan has played Arizona a lot of different years over the years now. Just got their doors blown off when they went out there. So, you know, some of the best wins are Illinois against medium level major teams. And, you know, Missouri is not very good right now. So it's a good win for Illinois to not lose it, but it's not a great win. I can't put IU's win over Butler as the best win in the conference, but it's up there.
It's top five.
There's no question about that.
Hoosiers up 9-4 at the 15:50, the first TV timeout, by the way, and a halftime score from Bloomington South.
Yep.
Panthers 33-19 over number 4 Corydon Central from 3A.
Corydon, okay, I was going to say 4 and Corydon.
They're 4, number 4 and 3A. They're a very, very good team. South playing well tonight. Good job there.
Good team. Lousy night raining out there. At least it's warmed up a little bit. And we've only got about half hour here left with you. Before we take you to Monday Night Football, we got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. We'll get some NFL football, including the Colts' embarrassing showing down in the Big D when we get back. Dave and Terry with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Terry here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 333-2665 is the phone number. Hoosiers are over at Assembly Hall right now playing New Orleans, not the Saints, not the Hornets, or the whatever they are nowadays. I can't keep track of
them.
These
are the Privateers of New Orleans.
Yes, 15-11 at the second TV timeout of the game. For the Hoosiers right now, so maybe sleepwalking a little bit through tonight. I can't say that's all that shocking, given it was only 2 days ago they beat Butler, and that was a big game, and they've heard a lot of good things about it. That never really helps your team. Gardner Webb, by the way, is winning by 12 right now at Purdue.
Holy
about
moly.
11 minutes left to go. And Michigan State has started the second half on a 19-0 lead after leading by only six against the Citadel at half. So, yeah, more Big Ten fun. So, hey, go Purdue.
Again, I don't shed any tears for Matt Painter either. So, tough.
Yeah, exactly. 333-2665 is the phone number. Speaking of shedding tears, I imagine there were a few in the Colts locker room at Jerry Jones's huge palace down in Dallas this weekend. It took until 5 minutes left to go in the game for the Colts to get on the board, and that was by virtue of Matt Hasselbeck pass to Zerlin Tipton. And if you had that as the first touchdown of the game for the Colts in some sort of pool, well, you probably won a lot of money.
No kidding.
Good for you. I don't know why you would take that to begin with. I mean, Colts just got their doors blown off, and unfortunately, it came to start the game on the heel of a couple really dumb, bad plays because, you know, the run defense for the Colts has not been great. They have held some mediocre run teams down. They've held some mediocre offenses down and pumped them their chests up a bit about how their defense has improved. And I've tried to keep that real around here. But, you know, you get a big stop on a third down and you get a taunting penalty. Look, I'm going to go blue in the face at a different time talking about how stupid the taunting penalty is to begin with when you're not doing what he was doing. It should not be a penalty. It's just goofy. He's not doing all that much. It's still a penalty and it's still a horrible time. And it still gives him a first down. They score, I think, on the next play. Then you turn around and you've got a fourth down punt situation and you make the smart call, which is an automatic pass call and a fine pass. And the kid gets out there and you realize why he's a safety and not a wide receiver because he just flat out drops the ball. And so here you've blown it twice in the first quarter and clearly mentally that just did it for them.
And we're done. Yeah, I agree.
And they were already missing some players. T.Y. Hilton out for the game, probably the wise thing to do. Still have to win, here. I mean, they don't want to jerk around too much here. They'd like to get that number 3 seed rather than the number 4 seed. I suppose at the end of the day, there's still one home game and on the road somewhere most likely because this team right now, I've said this all year long, this team is Andrew Luck. It's got some good skill players as long as they're not banged up, but it's Andrew Luck. It's all Andrew Luck. The offensive line stinks. You know, the tackles are all right. Well, one of them, Chiralis was out this weekend to hold him up. The defense is mediocre. It's doing a good job for what it's got, and it's throwing a lot of looks out there and using a lot of players, but it's not very good. This was a tough road trip, but it's feasted on a bad schedule, and now it's starting to show.
Oh, it's amazing. 10-5. I mean, that's great. They're going to probably finish 11-5 for the third straight year. Division champs again. Great. I mean, and that's good considering the 2-14, blah, 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 from a couple years ago. But the defense being bad is an understatement. And the Colts better hope they can stay at third because if they drop one, the very chances right now is that even if it's home, Pittsburgh's going to come in.
Yeah.
And
they manhandled us.
51-34. And you guys, I mean, I don't care that we got within 9 at one point.
Yeah.
This game was never even as close as 17 in the way they throttled us. 42 points against the Patriots at home.
Yeah.
42 points yesterday at Jerry World. You know, earlier in the year, you know, the Broncos only scored 31 against us, and that's supposed to be the best offense in football right now, and Peyton Manning. So, I mean, I don't know, Dave. We've had one decent win against what's going to be a playoff team. A really good game against the Eagles. Probably another game the Colts should have won. Yeah, the Eagles aren't going to make the playoffs either.
No.
So, you know, at this point, we are – the Colts are just another team that – everybody's going to look at it now and say, well, crap, no wonder they won their division. Okay. You know, it's the worst division, and maybe the second worst division, if not the worst, in football. And every time we've played a decent team with a winning record, I mean, at the time we beat the Ravens, okay, they were all, you know, and beating the Texans.
Ravens are a nice team. Cincinnati's a nice team.
Yeah.
Cleveland is a nice team. Not great, but nice.
They have been on the cusp of the playoffs this year. But, my gosh, you know, yesterday was just flat embarrassing. And, you know, both times now when they've brought Phil and Jimmy Nance in to do a game, we have been throttled either at home or on the road. And there's a lot of things need fixed right now in the Colts.
10 rushes for 1 yard.
Amazing.
Again, I know why people were high on Dan Boom Heron. 7 carries, 3 yards. I've been saying all year, this is an offensive line problem. They continue to have to shuffle people. Lance Lewis started again at right guard. They pulled Jonathan Harrison at one point. I'm not sure if that was due to injury, but they put Khaled Holmes in there. Khaled Holmes comes off injured reserve and apparently isn't either in shape or good enough yet, even though he was the draft pick everybody was counting on to start your year at center. Apparently he's still not good enough to start right away, so they get him off the injured situation, and they aren't willing to put him in until it's desperate. They had to play Xavier Nixon, who I think, and don't quote me on this, he may have been on the practice squad earlier this year. Don't quote me on that. I know he's been inactive a lot of the weeks. They frankly haven't needed him. I mean, Chehalis has been playing injured, but he's played most of the year. Costanzo has played pretty much all year long, and they've been as solid as it gets. But you can't run the ball very well without a good interior offensive line. It's really hard to do that. And there's been constant pressure in Luck's face up the middle, and this is a Dallas team that doesn't get a lot of pressure on people, and they're getting them pummeled and pummeled and pummeled. Look, Glass says this all the time. It's going to get a home game. It's probably going to win a home game, whether it's Baltimore or Cincinnati. I hope it's one of those two teams because I don't want to have to play San Diego. I got bad dreams of San Diego still from years back.
Oh, no kidding.
With Rivers and anybody else. Billy Volek and quarterbacking that team. But after that, you can forget about it because they're still not good enough. And I'm going to be on Grigson no matter what. Anyways, but he got a lot of pats on the back real early on for turning this quote-unquote team around. Turned it around with Andrew Luck. That was one of those big no-brainer picks in the NFL, and it has worked out even better than anybody could have expected his first 3 years. There's no question about that. That is not because of some kind of brilliant team building. Every other area of this team, I will give him one exception, and that is offensive skill spots. There's been some unluckiness of injury.
Yeah.
Every other spot is substandard. It's not good enough. It's just not. Again, I can point out a couple guys that have been pleasant surprises. You know, Eric Walden is a solid player. Corey Redding has been a great leader on the defense. I think you could argue a couple of the defensive linemen are finally kind of showing you something. Arthur Jones has been a nice player.
Mm-hmm.
I like Jarrell Freeman. I like Mike Adams as guys that have stepped in for this team. Devontae Davis trade has worked out. But that defense is still not good enough in the middle. It's still not big and physical enough. It's tried a lot of things. It's not good enough. And in the middle of that offensive line, just like Bill Polian's last few years, everything they've tried in the middle of that offensive line has fell flat on its face. And it's getting Andrew Luck killed, and it's getting the running game at this point. It's unable to do anything. When they had cohesion there, they were running the ball. And now they're injured, they're beat up, and they're just not in any position. Those things aren't solved yet.
No, and it looks like a long way from being solved to me. And not this year. And without a running game to allow some play action to let Andrew Luck do what he does best, you know, we can't sit back there and throw it 50 to 60 times a game and expect to win a game, because number one, you're going to get him hurt before too long. Andrew Luck's not going to get up from one of those patting somebody on the back for a nice tackle. They're going to send a stretcher out for him.
No pun, you can't get that lucky forever.
No.
I mean, you can't.
No, and he is big and strong, and that's great. But, yeah, there's just a few places, and I'm with you on starting with the offensive line. Of course, on defense, you know, Robert Mathis isn't there. So hopefully next year he's going to be a little long. He's getting long in the tooth, but Hopefully he can come back and play, help a little pressure there. But
the defense wasn't good last year with him.
No,
it was. And he had a crazy year.
He had a great year last year. I think we've got a few more pieces this year defensively, but, you know, right now it's, you know, without that blocking and without some semblance of running, because, I mean, we've got guys hurt there too, but without some type of running game, you know, we're destined to, you know, we were lucky to win a home playoff game last year.
Yeah.
Damn lucky.
We're down 30 points?
Yep.
I mean, yeah, come on. There's a reason that that game is going to be shown on the NFL Network, you know, 11 o'clock at night for the next 20 years.
Yeah.
Because that's how absurd that comeback really was. Now, all credit to Andrew Luck and the Colts for doing it, but that kind of thing, that's playing with fire if you try that stuff too often. The good news, the Colts are in the playoffs and hosting a playoff game. Whom is it against, and whether they can get out of it becomes the next pertinent question for the Colts. They do have to play this weekend at Tennessee. We got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is our phone number. Dave and Terry with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Terry here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Monday. You got it right every time.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Well, we're not done yet, so now you've jinxed
me. Yeah, don't worry. Nah, you're fine.
10 minutes left and in the show tonight, our last in the red zone of the year. And it's been a lot of fun to be able to have this extra time to talk about the busy weekend of sports. And it is that and has been that. And again, we're taking you to the Broncos at the Bengals. Some quick updates. Hoosiers are up at the under 8 timeout, 23-17, as New Orleans taking the air out of the ball, it sounds like. Hoosiers not shooting it great right now, but again, it's first half. You expect a little bit of a hangover, I suppose.
Oh, yeah.
The fun part for Hoosier fans right now is not actually in Bloomington. It's in West Lafayette as Purdue is losing with 6.5 minutes to go to Gardner-Webb, 71-56. 6.5 minutes to go, so we're holding out hope on that one. Michigan State is blowing the doors open on the Citadel, and it's no surprise there. 71-57 now, Gardner-Webb up on Purdue. Come on, Bulldogs, or whatever Gardner-Webb is.
Yeah, I'm not sure what they beat Kentucky a couple of years ago,
yeah,
by the way.
Good.
In the Calipari era, I'd throw that out.
Beat Purdue, it'd be another great notch in the Big Ten's bedpost this year. Let's look at the Colts. I mean, their playoff picture at this point, 3 seed, 4 seed. I'm not sure it matters. Again, my opinion is I'd like to avoid Pittsburgh again, and I'd like to avoid San Diego. How we keep all those teams out of it and get Cincinnati and Baltimore in there, two teams the Colts have beaten in Indianapolis already, I don't know. But certainly those are the ones that I'd rather play.
Well, yeah, I mean, that'd be nice. I suppose are they playing Cincinnati?
I believe
next
that
week
is the final game.
And that's at Pittsburgh. Oh, I know. Yeah, it's at Pittsburgh, because I remember Roethlisberger's interview yesterday afternoon talking about, we got one more game in. We got the second home game in a row back here.
That is listed as the Sunday night NBC game.
Exactly. Now, should that happen, that would push Cincinnati back, but would it knock them completely out?
9-5-1. Well, it depends on tonight. I mean, they got to play some Broncos.
Here's the thing tonight. Yeah, and they are at home tonight against the Broncos. This should be a good game tonight. I mean, I would think, you know, the Broncos would win even on the road, but we'll see. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't want to play San Diego and Phil Rivers, who I can't stand him.
Well, between Ben Roethlisberger and Philip Rivers,
jeez,
look, they both make some mistakes if you get some pressure on them, but they also both stand back there, get pummeled, and make big plays for their teams.
They're good quarterbacks. We'll see how that rolls out. Fun game tonight. And what type of pressure is going to be on the Bengals should they lose tonight to go to Pittsburgh and try to play the terrible Towels on the road? Fun.
Yeah, so again, our game tonight, Broncos at Bengals, and Bengals with it all to play for. The Broncos can lose this game. Peyton Manning's not walking in there saying, we can lose this game, don't worry about it, but because they've got Oakland in Denver next week. But the Bengals absolutely have to have it. 9-4-1. They've got a half game right now on Pittsburgh. It's one of those weird situations where the Steelers have already clinched a playoff spot, despite being listed as percentage points behind Cincinnati. But they're assured at least a wild card at this point. What we don't know is where that second wild card is coming from. I would guess a pair of Cincinnati wins would make it interesting. Because that would win the division for them. Baltimore hosts Cleveland next week. You would think that's a win. So, a lot of it does come down to that. I don't know the tiebreakers between them and Kansas or them and San Diego. San Diego has to go to Kansas City. So they've got the tougher road to hoe at this point. I'd still, give me Cincinnati or Baltimore. We've seen them. I like my chances rattling Andy Dalton a lot more than I like him with Ben Roethlisberger or Philip Rivers.
Well, right now, at least, hey, we're in. Regardless, it'd be great to stay at 3. We're not going any further. I mean, I guess suppose we could drop to a 4, but right now we're in. Some excellent games next week, starting tonight, and then next weekend's games. Yeah. There's going to be, as Glass would say, some tasty games out there to determine who's left and who we're going to play.
And we have the Colts at Tennessee here on WGCL at noon on Sunday. And, of course, kickoff is 1 o'clock with Bob Lamy with the pregame and the broadcast on that. So, again, pregaming or previewing tonight, Denver, they never take it easy. But if you're looking for what can Denver do, there's two things to me is they've been running the ball a lot more here recently.
Yes.
Can they keep that up? Because that takes a ton of pressure off of Peyton Manning. It also takes a ton of pressure, everybody forgets this, off your defense. And this is a Denver defense that wasn't particularly great last year. It has improved this year, but it's had some spots that make you question also. I mean, New England, again, ran the ball all over them in New England. So that's the whole question. Denver eventually, if it plays out according to the seeds, will have to go to New England, according to what it looks like right now. Is their running game up to par Denver's to guide them through that? Is their defense? Because last year, if I remember correctly, they shut down New England pretty heartily out there in Denver. And it's not like they scored 40 points, to my recollection, over New England. They did a great job defensively.
Yeah, and this, this defense, they've added some pieces. The Broncos did. So this is a little bit better defense. I like what they're doing now, trying to run the ball. I mean, obviously that takes some time off the clock, gives your defense some rest. Don't put everything on Peyton's shoulders. Let Peyton make a play when you need to make a play. And they're giving him a lot, a lot more help there with the running game, and I like it. Wish the Colts could do it.
Yep, no question. And we'll see how the Colts do again. We'll have them this weekend. Noon pregame on Sunday. Hey, folks, enjoy your weekend. We will not be in Wednesday. We'll be back next Monday to talk about another big weekend. So enjoy your week, enjoy your holiday, and we will talk to you Monday. You've been in the Zone.